You'll have to excuse me, I'm still trying to get over a little bit of that cough, so if my voice falters a little bit, I apologize in advance. But peace and grace to each of you in the name of Jesus as we gather this day. Amen. Well, as I said before, and as you've heard already, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Someone once upon a time decided that on the fourth Sunday of Easter, every year we need to talk about sheep and shepherds. I don't know, maybe there was a shepherd lobby who really wanted their interests represented. Or maybe the mutton commodities was hurting and church people wanted to boost their stock in sheep. Either way, it gives us a good opportunity to go back to that familiar image, at least the image of sheep that we like to think about. Real sheep herders will shake their heads at regular people's fascination with the dumb little creatures. But we like to think of Jesus as the shepherd and us as the sheep, especially when Jesus is holding us in his arms or has us draped over his shoulders, when he's pulling us out of the thorn bush or cleaning the muck out of our fleece, I'm not so sure. And it's an old, old image, isn't it? The 23rd Psalm came along long before Jesus. And even in those days, folks had already come to picture God as this one who guides us along right pathways and leads us beside still waters. The parable of the lost sheep is found in Matthew and Luke. The shepherd is in charge of 100 sheep and one goes missing. And so the shepherd, who's never called good or bad in those parables, leaves behind the 99 and looks for the one. And when he's found that one, there is more rejoicing than for the 99 who never went astray. But the Gospel of John, as we've noted before, doesn't use any of Jesus' parables. Instead, John uses encounters with real people to tell the story of Jesus. In John, Jesus uses the sheep metaphor here in chapter 10, part of which we read today, and again at the very end of the story when Jesus commends Peter three times. Feed my sheep. It's kind of a reinstatement of the three times that Peter denies Jesus. But the story isn't about lost sheep. There aren't 99 obedient sheep and one wayward one. There are certainly people in John's story, however, who are lost. For Jesus, in the Gospel of John, sheep are the precious little ones, the vulnerable ones, the ones who are lost without him. And there are those like Peter and you and me who are called to help them, feed them, care for them. And always in the Gospel of John, it's the question of whether we can see that in Jesus, God's light of love is shining. Which is why we have to go all the way back to chapter 9 in John's Gospel to really understand why Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. In chapter 9, Jesus encounters a man who's been blind his entire life. This is the one of whom the disciples ask the question. They ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And then Jesus heals the man, even without being asked. He spits on the ground and makes some mud, and he smears it on the man's eyes, and he tells the man to go and wash in the pool. And the man does, and he discovers that he can see all of a sudden. Only the Pharisees in the story, they take issue with this whole situation. They demand to know from the man who it is that healed him. But he doesn't know. He never saw Jesus, only heard him say, go and wash. And for some reason, this infuriates the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They can't stand not knowing how it is that this man who was blind now can see. Actually, it's all about seeing and hearing. Who listens to Jesus? Who can see Jesus? And who, even though they can see, can't see Jesus? And the Pharisees, they end up kicking the man out of the synagogue, severing his connection to his family and his community, making him more lost than he was before as a blind beggar. The whole scene happens in chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, part of which we read today, Jesus starts talking about himself as the good shepherd. This is where it's helpful to have one of those red letter Bibles. You've seen those before, maybe you have those. You know, the ones where Jesus' words are all printed in red. Because at the end of chapter 9, and as the words continue into chapter 10, even though there's that artificial chapter demarcation, you'll notice that Jesus starts in chapter 9 and goes right into chapter 10. There's no break in the conversation. He's chastising the Pharisees, even saying that even though they can see, their sin remains. And then he starts referring to himself as the good shepherd, the one whose voice the sheep hear and follow. He's still talking to the Pharisees. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I have other sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. This talk about the shepherd and the hired hands who have fallen down on the job, and the deep value and worth of the sheep, such as the shepherd willingly gives his life for the sheep, is directly related to the value and worth of the man born blind and everyone else like him. We often think that the ones who Jesus loves are the ones who have chosen to follow him. We think that this is how we get in good with Jesus. We either respond to his call, or we open the door when Jesus knocks, or we at least do all of the things that Jesus wants us to do. And then Jesus will love us and take care of us and give us all of the good things that a shepherd gives sheep. But the important factor in this Jesus encounter with this man born blind is that the man never asks for Jesus to help him. And Jesus doesn't ask to be welcomed in. The man doesn't even see who it is that smears mud on his face. And his testimony afterward is, all I know is that I was blind before, and now I can see. Do you get how blindness here is related to sin? It's not that blind people are sinners or that sin causes blindness. The church actually has a very poor record of treatment regarding blind people. But as it is, in Jesus' day, there were many who imagined that blindness must have been caused by something. And that something is that someone sinned. And this guy is paying the price. That's why the disciples asked the question, who sinned? Which Jesus rejects, by the way. The Pharisees consider the blind man to be a sinner. And even after he regains his sight, they won't include him. Rather, they go further. They kick him out entirely. It's like being excommunicated from the church. It's being kicked out of the synagogue. But Jesus tells the Pharisees that they are the ones who are the sinners, even though they can see. And throughout the gospel, it's about who is willing and able to see and hear Jesus. Even though the parable of the lost sheep is in the other gospels, in John, Jesus is the shepherd who is continually searching for and reaching out to those who have become lost and abandoned, even at no fault of their own. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. And the good shepherd seeks out the lost sheep, or the vulnerable one, or the one that doesn't deserve to be helped. And the good shepherd helps that one too, opens their eyes, and brings them back into the flock, or back into the flock from which they have been excluded, and gives them the same good things as all the other sheep. So this whole narrative, chapter 9 and chapter 10, about blindness and hearing Jesus and whether you see or don't see, or and how the shepherd ultimately knows the sheep and the sheep hear his voice, all of it continues to play out in our world today. For those of us like the Pharisees who believe that we are members of Jesus' flock, and for those who perhaps are hearing Jesus' voice for the first time, or the first time in a long time, anyway. And especially for those like the man born blind who find themselves vulnerable, in need, even lost, and alone. Now, I may ruffle some feathers here, but we have to be willing to consider that these are the same issues impacting our local discussion regarding people in our community who don't have homes to live in. Like the man born blind or others in the Gospels who are somehow labeled as sinners, who are punished or are pushed to the margins and forced to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, who are threatened with being kicked out of the community altogether even, our unhoused neighbors are vulnerable at the mercy of we who hold power and wealth and influence, even the keys to God's kingdom, we claim. And yet Jesus is speaking. Jesus is present in our community. Do we see him? Do we listen to him? Let's say Jesus is speaking to the person on the street who has no place to sleep except the park bench or the warming center. That doesn't mean that person doesn't still have a personal responsibility. Bad behavior, leaving trash and junk lying around, and worse, that's not what we're talking about necessarily. But if we believe that one such as a person who has lost their home and family because of, I don't know, mental illness or bills that can't be paid or a job that was taken away and given to some kid in Thailand and forced a kid to do it for cheaper money, or any of 100 other things in this complex world, if we believe that even this kind of person deserves to hear the voice of Jesus and go and wash in the pool of healing waters, then shouldn't we provide the pool in the form of shelter or a healthy meal maybe, or even some restrooms around town that can be used instead of a gazebo or a kid's playground? Or will we insist on kicking these people out of our community because we assume that they're the sinners and we're not? Does the good shepherd lay down his life for these sheep? Or are we the hired hands who leave the sheep to the wolves, those who snatch and scatter? We're here today because Jesus has died for our sins. Jesus is our good shepherd who leads us beside still waters, who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, who has come to us in times when we have blinded ourselves to the crappy ways that we have lived our lives sometimes. But Jesus has smeared mud on our eyes and told us to go and wash, and by some miracle, our eyes have been opened, and our sins, too, have been forgiven. We all need that word of absolution at the beginning of the service, just as much as the blind man needed Jesus' spit and dust and the pool of water. In truth, we need that word of grace every day. That's why we come together for church. That's why Jesus is our good shepherd. Only let us not become blinded as the Pharisees had in Jesus' day when they refused to see what Jesus was doing with someone they thought could never be given such a gift as to receive his sight. They allowed their hold not only on power and wealth, but also their self-assurance that they were the chosen people of God. They allowed all of that to keep them from seeing and hearing and knowing the transformative power of Jesus' forgiving grace. The church, the saints of God, we who gather for worship of the risen Christ, is the body of Christ. God has opened our eyes in the power of Jesus. In Christ, there is a new creation. So let us shepherd God's sheep with all the love and care and goodness that is shown to us by the one that we call the Good Shepherd. Amen.